Ladies and gentlemen, good day, and welcome to the Q4 and annual result conference call for Info Edge India Limited. We have with us today on the call Mr. Hitesh Oberoi, CEO, and Mr. Ambarish Raghuvanshi, CFO. As a reminder, for the duration of this conference, all participants' line will be in the listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity for you to ask questions at the end of today's presentation. If you should need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star followed by zero on your touchtone phone. At this time, I'd like to hand over the conference to Mr. Hitesh Oberoi. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Shyama. Good evening, and welcome to our fourth quarter and annual results conference call. We will first take you through the quarterly and annual financial performance of the company. Then we will cover each business in more detail. In the end, we will be happy to take questions. Moving on to the financial highlights of the quarter. For the company as a whole, net sales in Q4 were rupees 117 crores versus rupees 106 crores in the same quarter last year, an increase of 9.6%. For Q4, operating EBITDA was at 39 crores, having declined 8.5% YOY. Operating EBITDA margin was at 33.7% versus 40% in Q4 last year. Other income also decreased on account of lower returns from financial investments as a result of lower interest rates and a lower corpus. PAT was at 35 crores, down 11.5%. Operating PAT was at 24 crores, down about 5% YOY. Operating PAT margin was at 20.7% versus 25.6% in the same quarter of last year. Deferred sales revenue has increased to rupees 121 crores versus rupees 100 crores as of December 31st, 2012. We continue to be cautious for the financial year 2013-2014. Moving on to the financial highlights of the full year 2012-2013. Net sales for the 12-month period ended 31st March 2013 were rupees 4,438 crores versus rupees 377 crores in the same period last year, an increase of 16%. For the 12-month, operating EBITDA was at 147 crores, which was up 3.6% YOY. Operating EBITDA margin was at 33.9% versus 37.9% in 12 months of last year. PAT, before the exceptional item, that is the 99acres write-off, was at 131 crores, up 7%. Operating PAT was at 93 crores, up 3.5% year-on-year. Operating PAT margin was at 21.5% versus 24% in the same period last year. Moving on to the performance by business. We'll first cover recruitment. In Q4 of this year, recruitment top line grew 4% to 88 crores. EBITDA margins in recruitment were at 49% versus 54% in Q4 of last year. In Naukri, the EBITDA margin was at 54%, down from 58% in Q4 of last year. For the full year, the recruitment business grew its top line by 11%, and the EBITDA margin was at 49% versus 51% of last year. In Naukri, in Q4, we added an average of 12,000 fresh CVs every day, and the Naukri database grew to over 33 million CVs. Average CV modifications were at 116,000 per day. The Naukri JobSpeak Index was at 1,304 in March 2013. In Q4, we serviced 26,000 unique customers versus 25,000 customers in Q4 of last year. For the full year as a whole, we serviced 48,000 customers versus 46,000 customers last year. In the 99acres business, top line in Q4 grew 41.6% YOY to 15.5 crores. For the full year, top line grew by 48% to 51 crores. In 99acres, we made a small profit in Q4, but in the full year lost about 80 lakhs. Paid listings in Q4 were at 4.3 lakhs versus 3.2 lakhs last year. In the Jeevansathi business, net sales grew 27% in the full year over last year. we had an EBITDA loss of 7.5 crores in full year 2013. In Shiksha, net sales grew at 29% year on year for the full year. The net sales this year, the growth in net sales was a lot lower than collection growth because of because of the change in the sales mix. We had more deferred products being sold this year compared to last year. However, because the base is small, such changes result in large changes in percentage terms. Moving on to our investee companies, continue to witness solid growth. In Q4, we invested rupees 30 crores in Merit Nation and moved to majority. We invested 55 crores in Zomato and moved to majority. We invested an additional 2.5 crores in Policy Bazaar. We acquired MakeSense. MakeSense was merged into Info Edge for about 8 crores. We wrote off our provided for our entire investment in 99 labels of about 29 crores. The investing company financials are also available on our website, infoedge.in. Additional funding may be required by investing companies, and we will evaluate this from time to time. We also continue to evaluate other investment opportunities in the Indian internet market. To summarize, the job market continues to be tight. This may continue to be the case till the economy starts looking up again. Our competitive position in Naukri continues to be strong, and if growth comes back, we will benefit. In the meanwhile, we will continue to invest more in the business, especially in product development going forward, to continue to maintain and strengthen our leadership position. 99acres continue to grow in an uncertain market, and we will continue to invest more in this business as competition increases. We will continue to invest more in Jeevansathi and Shiksha as well. As mentioned in our earlier calls, if top line for the company grows at below 20% or so, we will need margins, and below 15%, our absolute profits will decline as well. We are now ready for any questions that you may have. Thank you for being on the call.
Thank you very much, sir. Participants, we will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. Participants are requested to use only handsets while asking a question. Anyone who has a question at this time, you may press star and one. We have the first question from the line of Sagar Rastogi from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question. In Q4, there was an acceleration in year-on-year growth for your job index number. If I take the average of the 3 months as the index for the quarter, that is, which I see as a proxy of volume for you. Whereas the revenue for recruitment solutions, that growth has sort of seen a deceleration. So just wanted to get a perspective from you on how to read this dissonance. I mean, is it because of changes in pricing or higher discounts, or is there just no correlation that I'm drawing? Thank you.
Well, I'm sure there is some correlation, but I don't think it's a linear correlation. You know, a lot of our revenue comes from the database product as well. A lot of our revenue comes from branding solutions. So it is possible that listings may increase, but, you know, companies may cut down on spending on the higher value products. So while there is some correlation, I don't think we can sort of take it as a total proxy for our revenue.
And could you comment on the pricing situation vis-a-vis last quarter and also the same quarter last year?
So, you know, what we are seeing is almost zero growth in, you know, in the number of customers. So, number of customers we did business with grew from 46,000 to 48,000 only last year. Our collection growth has been sort of, flattish. There's been no growth in collections.
In Naukri
corporate sales. So, my sense is that, we are not growing volume and we are not growing, nor is there any change in the price that we are able to get from the marketplace at this point in time. It's a very flattish sort of scenario right now.
So we are not giving more discounts than we did in the past. It's pretty much, business as usual, similar pricing as last year. So pricing has been pretty flat for the last 15 months or so, and that's probably a reflection of where the markets are today. It's difficult to take a price increase, but at the same time, we're not yielding on price by giving more discount.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Gaurav Malhotra from Citigroup. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Just one question. You know, we have been hearing a lot of media reports talking about LinkedIn's growing aggression in India. So just wanted, you know, your views on how you see the threat and what is Info Edge doing to counter this threat?
So we continue to invest aggressively on, you know, on building our platform. We have, like I mentioned in the call, we will continue to invest in product development in Naukri. We'll continue to sort of invest in strengthening and improving our user experience. We continue to add more and more services to our customers. So we see LinkedIn as a threat as well, and we will continue to invest. That's the only way to sort of counter it in the medium. So we may yield margins in the short term if the market doesn't look up, but hopefully it will benefit our business in the long run.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, just a reminder, anyone who wishes to ask a question, you may press star and one. We have the next question from the line of Sri Watson from Spark Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Just wanted to get your thoughts on 19acres. It's seen a good year in a relatively a very weak macroeconomic background. So in terms of deferred revenues or bookings, how do you see any specific pockets that are doing well, not doing well? More detailed update will be helpful.
On 19acres?
Yeah.
So we had a good year. Our business last year grew by 48%. We saw growth in almost every market we operate in. Today we operate mostly in the top 13-14 cities in the country. But this growth has come up a lower base, low base. So that doesn't mean necessarily that, you know, the real estate market is doing well in every city. It's just that we are under-penetrated. And we are still adding new customers, so that is getting us growth. Of course, a lot of the real estate activity is still in the north, so that continues to be our largest market. But we are growing our business in every city we operate in.
Okay, on the 19acres bit, any change in competitive dynamics at this point of time? Because we've been seeing, at least on the regional radios, far more higher advertisements from 19acres and others also. Just want to understand any change in competitive dynamics.
Oh, yes, of course. You know, in the last few months, competitive activity in this space has increased dramatically. You know, companies like sites like Magic Bricks and a few other players have started spending aggressively. And that also means that we have to sort of invest more in this business to sort of maintain and strengthen our position in the market. There are at least 7-8 serious players in the market at this point in time. Some which are, some of them have a lot of cash. Some of them, of course, may drop out in the long run if they're not able to sustain their activities. But right now, this market is hyper-competitive, and we need to continue to invest aggressively to sort of maintain and strengthen our position in this market.
Sure. Just one more question on this bit. In terms of you did mention that there's a pretty serious competition. In terms of, if it will be helpful, if you could just give us some insight as to, because or others, what would be the top two or three USPs on which we typically, on which the customers make the decision on whom to go with?
So you know, there are two sort of parties we deal with. We have the buyers who visit our site, and we have the dealers and the builders who pay us to list properties on our site. So in the long run, of course, you have to be the preferred site for buyers, and buyers should want to sort of visit your site and search and contact sellers. So that is something which is very important in the long run. But to ensure that you are that site, you have to invest in almost virtually every area. You need to sort of spend on marketing and brand building to get buyers. You need to invest on in sales so that you have all the supply and all the listings available on your website. So it should not so happen that, you know, you spend money on marketing, but when buyers come to your site, they don't find any data on your site. So you need to invest aggressively on the sales side, on coverage, to get more and more customers to list properties on your site. You need to, of course, offer a lot of good quality tools on the site to people who visit your website so that they have a great user experience on the site. So, you know, in a nutshell, you need to get all the listings. You need to have high-quality listings. You need to have genuine listings. And you need to get a lot of buyers. through your brand building, SEO, SEM efforts to ensure that the people who list properties get a great response. And once you do that, then the whole virtuous circle gets going. And, you know, people who generate, because you generate the more response, you get, you know, more sellers. And because you have the more sellers on your site, you have the most buyers and so on and so forth.
Sure. Just my last one. In terms of traffic share, where would we be vis-a-vis competition?
Yeah, traffic share in this business, see, one, it depends on what you define competition as. So if you define competition as a top three or four players, then it's a different traffic share. If you define competition as 20 players, it's a different traffic share. But so far, we have been defining competition as four or five players. And our traffic share has been in the 30s, you know, for a while now. Sometimes it has, I think at the highest point, we were 37, 38. At the lowest point, we've been 30, 31 as well. So that share keeps fluctuating on a monthly basis, depending on competitive activity. But we are in that range.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anand Rai from VC Circle. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. My first question is, how would you explain the dip in operating margin since the expenditure is growing faster than the revenues in the core business?
Yeah, this is what we had announced last year, that, and what you know, Hitesh just reiterated, that if top line grows at less than 20%, we will be yielding on margins. And that is exactly the way it has panned out, because growth has come at about 16%, whereas expenses have grown at about 23-24%. And that is, you know, part of the strategy, which is what we just said, that we are investing in, you know, product, technology, engineering, brand in some of the businesses like 99acres, Jeevansathi, and in sales in some of the businesses like 99acres. We've invested in a new office, you know, where in Noida, where we have about a capacity of 1,200 people. We've invested about 35 crores in that. So, yes, across several areas, we have made investments which are for the medium to long term. Whereas, so, yes, and that's how the reason why margins have actually dropped.
Okay, but why are the profits from the core business coming down for the full year?
The profit from the core business, I don't think it's down. EBITDA margins are down, but profit actually went up.
That's also because a lot of this investment goes through the P&L route. So if you hire people or you spend on innovation, instead of it being capitalized, it all goes through the P&L.
Okay, fair enough. Now, on the whole, how are the subsidiaries doing? Because it looks like they did well last year.
Which subsidiaries are you referring to, sorry?
I was talking about the subsidiaries on a whole.
The investing companies, you mean?
I'm sorry? Yeah, correct.
The investing companies?
Correct.
So we have a chart which explains
financial
some of the companies that we've invested in, on how they performed, on what their operating revenues for the year were, and at least for the companies which are our subsidiaries. For the associate companies, we have clubbed them into one bucket. And that will give you a sense for where, you know, the top line and the margins were. So, yes, I mean.
Okay, and I mean, where can I get this chart?
This is on infoedge.in.
Okay, fair enough. My last question is, can you share whether Zomato, now considering you acquired a majority in Zomato, so can you share whether Zomato is in losses as of now, and when can we see it becoming profitable, if it is at all in losses?
No, the subsidiary companies are right now losing money. That's why they need more investment. But they're investing for growth. They're investing for the future. And we don't expect any of them to break even, you know, in the short term. Not Zomato. I don't expect Zomato to break even in the next 12 months. Because they're entering new markets, they are sort of investing behind growth in those markets. You know, both the subsidiary companies we have, Merit Nation and Zomato, are dominant players in their category. They have market leadership. And we are very bullish about the prospects in the medium term.
Okay. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rohan Samant from MultiAct. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. I just wanted to understand a bit on your thought process where you guys decided to take the write-off on 99 labels, and you guys just mentioned that you would want to continue to invest in Jeevan Saathi. Now, Jeevan Saathi has been loss-making. So can you just share a bit that at what point, why is it that you want to continue investing in Jeevan Saathi when it's been making, you know, continue to make loss basis, making losses? So where would you stop investing and take a write-off? I just wanted some thoughts there.
No. So in Jeevan Saathi, we have been writing off whatever we have been investing every year. So, you know, in the sense that we show that as a loss. So the Jeevan Saathi is an operating business. 99 Labours was an investment. The two need to be treated differently. We continue to invest in Jeevan Saathi because we believe there is a future. You know, at the end of the day, there are just 10% of the people of India on the internet. And this penetration is only going to increase in time. We may be a number three player, but we are still growing at 27-28% year on year. So we see an opportunity and we will continue to invest in this business at least for the next couple of years. So it's an operating business. It has to be treated differently from an investing company in terms of the way we sort of account for losses and investments.
And as far as 99 Labels is concerned, it's a recognition of two facts. You have to put together the fact that, you know, e-commerce businesses are somewhat challenged right now in India, both from a scalability and from unit economics. The other issue is that, you know, the funding environment has become a little sort of pessimistic, become weak, and e-commerce businesses by definition need investors with lots of capital, deep pockets, and that has not been forthcoming. So 99 Labels, the issue was not so much unit economics alone, but it was also about the lack of access to incremental funding. And since we were not prepared to put more money behind a business where unit economics were not totally proven, and we were seeking co-investors and those were not forthcoming, that's the reason we decided to provide for the entire investment.
Okay. And another question is on what is the basically Merit Nation, who are we trying to target and what's the model out there? Just wanted some basic understanding there.
No, we are targeting students. It's the K-12 market, and the model is subscription. So people pay to subscribe to their content for 6 months, 12 years, and so on. And the bulk of the market that we're targeting is students in class 5, class 6, class 7, class 8, class 9, and so on.
Okay, and basically then they'll have exams on the website, and would that be how it is?
Sir? Yeah, they have a lot of content for these children, videos, tests, quizzes, and so on.
Okay. And lastly, on Policy Bazaar, do we have intense competition there, or how is it in that business?
So Policy Bazaar does not have too much of competition. There are players, but they're much, much smaller than Policy Bazaar. It is a dominant business by far in that category.
And are you seeing uptick out there, or...?
Well, the top line is growing and collection cycle is slightly longer than in other businesses. It takes 3 or 4 months to collect. The issue is that, you know, it is a regulated industry. It's regulated by the IRDA, and that has its own challenges.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aarti Mishra from CLSA. Please go ahead.
Hi, Hitesh. Most of my questions have been answered. Just really quickly on 99acres. You mentioned that a small EBITDA level profit has been made in this quarter, but we still have a full year loss of 80 lakhs. I just wanted to check, going ahead, will we still see big swings in profitability from ad spends, or is at least break-even point going to be, you know, predictable from here on? I mean, do we see at least zero EBITDA margins from here on for 99acres?
Yes, right.
Participants, please continue to stay connected while I join the management back. Participants, we now have the line for the management connected. Ms. Aarti Mishra, you may proceed with your question.
Hello?
Yeah, Aarti?
Yeah, hi. I think I just spelled out my question on 99acres and whether we can expect profitability from here on. I'm sorry, but the line seemed to just get disrupted the minute you started to answer, so...
Okay. I'll answer that again.
Yeah.
Basically, a lot would depend on competitive activity in this space.
Okay.
It's a large category. It's an emerging category. There is a lot of action. Every now and then, we have new players entering and spending a lot of money. So we would certainly not want to part with our leadership position in a hurry, and therefore we will do whatever it takes to stay ahead of the pack. So which
okay.
will mean more investment in this business going forward.
And the full year revenues for 99 acres, just for bookkeeping purposes, was?
Was, I think, 51 crores.
Oh, okay, thank you so much. Thanks. That's all from me, actually. Thanks.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Ankit Kedia from Centrum Broking. Please go ahead.
Hi. I missed the revenues of Jeevansathi for the full year.
Just 1 second. Jeevansathi grew by 27% year-on-year.
Okay. And our A&P spends increased during the quarter. So for the next year, any guidance on the A&P spend?
You mean advertising and promotion?
Yes.
You know, yes, of course, the advertising and promotion spends increase next year as well. And a lot would depend on competitive activity in different businesses. We don't expect spends on Naukri to grow too much. But in 99 acres and Jeevansathi and Shiksha, we definitely expect higher spend next year.
Sure. And two of our subsidiaries, Zomato and Applet, the incremental funding were at valuations above 600 crores. So we further try to invest more money, or we are looking to, you know, tone down our investments if we get a good exit in these?
In which one?
No, we are not looking to exit Meditation and Zomato. We are strategic investors. You know, partly the valuations were high because we had to pay a control premium to get to over 50%. But I think what you should look at is that we now own a large part of these companies for very little investment. And these are the top two sort of players in their respective categories. And they're both doing well, and they're both growing handsomely.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Amit Agarwal from SBI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Thanks for taking my question. All my questions have been answered, just one little. Do we having any roadmap regarding the incremental investments that we wanted to make in the investee companies, at least in FY14?
You know, what I said was that, you know, additional funding may be required by investee companies, and we will evaluate each of these sort of opportunities as from time to time on merit, and we will continue to look for other investment opportunities. But, you know, investments are often lumpy. Last year, we sort of suddenly had to invest a lot of money in just one quarter, but there are times when we don't invest at all for two or three quarters, so it's very hard to predict what the outlay will be for next year. But we will continue to sort of look at companies both in our portfolio today and even new opportunities as well.
So the total amount invested is right now a little over 280 crores, and about 150 crores was invested last year, in the last financial year, in 12-13. And, you know, a bulk of it, half of it is in Zomato and in Merit Nation. So those two companies are reasonably well funded based on current business plans, at least for the next 12 maybe 24 months, but beyond that, we don't know. And the other companies, yeah, we'll evaluate on a case-by-case basis.
Yeah, that was it. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nitin Jain from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. I had a question on personal expenses. They declined by 320 basis points quarter-on-quarter. Despite you adding 157 employees, and on the other hand, your advertising and promotion expenses increased by 250 basis points. So, is there any? Have you added more salespeople, or what's the reason behind this?
Nitin, just come louder. We could not hear you properly.
So can you hear me now?
Yeah, we can.
Yeah. So I was asking on personal expenses declined by 320 basis points during the quarter, despite you adding 157 employees during the quarter.
You're comparing this year on year, or are you comparing it
to quarter on quarter?
Sequential quarter. Okay.
You know, I think that is mainly because, you know, our revenues in Q4 are higher than our revenues in Q3. Sequentially, they grow substantially, while our headcount does not, you know, increase substantially quarter on quarter.
No, quarter on quarter, there's an increase of 157 employees.
In Naukri?
No, across the
standalone. I'm talking about standalone numbers, including
this number includes some of our AllCheck Deal subsidiary also, the employee numbers that I give out in the data sheet.
Okay, this is not a standalone.
No, but are they like-to-like? I mean,
No. The results, financial results are standalone. The data sheet employee number that you see includes people from AllCheck Deals as well.
See, also what happens in Q4 is that we do a lot of campus hiring. So a lot of these people join in Q4 at various times in Q4. Some may join in January, some may join in February, some may join in March. So maybe headcount went up a little bit because of that. But, you know, a large part of our manpower expenses are also on account of variable pay. And if people are not able to meet their targets in a quarter, variable pay comes in lower as well.
So was that a factor this quarter? Means was the variable pay lower this quarter?
So we'll have to go to...
So the increase is about 18 lakhs, 1.8 million.
Yeah.
Employee cost. So, I mean, what you're saying is that while headcount has gone up by 157, personnel expenses have not gone up in proportion with that. Is that the question? So, you know, that might have been towards the end of the, you know, quarter or, you know, freshers who join, which bring down the average, you know, to begin with and so on. So, I mean, there's no real significant reason why that might have happened.
Okay, so there's no reason like a sales bonus, means variation in sales bonus, lower sales bonus.
No.
And I also noticed advertising and promotion expenses have increased by 255 basis points in the quarter.
So that happens, you know, in any quarter when we are on television, and at least two of our brands were on television during the quarter. So for a while, there was, you know, a small campaign for Shiksha, there was a campaign for 99acres, and a campaign for Jeevan Sathi. So putting that all together, and quarter three is our weakest quarter when it comes to advertising, because, you know, there are lots of holidays and we don't advertise too much. So coming off a quarter when you're not very active on television to a quarter where television forms a big part of your advertising strategy, there certainly will be a jump in ad expenses in the fourth quarter.
Okay, so do you include salespeople cost in employee cost, or it's part of advertising and promotion?
So sales people cost, salaries are in employee cost.
Okay. Thanks. That's it from me.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Robert Sheridan from Word Ferry Management. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys. Thanks very much for taking my call. I had three questions. The first is on the recruiting side of your business. How do you guys think about the addressable market in terms of number of recruiters and number of corporates that you have signed up? Because it looks like your customer base has been growing over the last couple, has been pretty stagnant over the last couple quarters. So I'm trying to figure out, you know, how you think about where you want to be in the next 3 to 5 years. The second question is on your investee companies. So just looking at your financial sheet here, and it looks like just over 80% of your revenues are from five of your associated companies, which you've kind of lumped together. Are you able to give any more color on the breakdown in operating revenue and EBITDA for each of the businesses? And then third question is also on the investee companies. Are you able to talk about the valuations which you've put your most recent fundraising rounds for each of the companies? Thanks.
So I guess your first question was on the customer base for Naukri, correct?
Yeah. Yes.
Right. So, you know, what you've seen traditionally is that when the economy slows down, we don't add as many customers as we do in a good economy. And till the economy was growing well, we were adding about 8,000-10,000 new customers every year. This has slowed down last year because the economy has slowed down. Many businesses we were working with are not hiring. Many businesses have shut down shop. All that happens when the economy slows down. So if the economy starts growing once again at 6.5-7% a year, I'm sure this number will grow at maybe 5,000-8,000 customers per year from here on. That's what you've seen in the past, at least. The second question was on investing companies, and you wanted sort of the numbers to be given separately, right?
Yeah, it looks like most of your revenues are from, or by far the majority of your revenues are from five companies, which are kind of clumped together. So I was just wondering what the breakdown might be there.
So we don't give the breakup for the associate companies separately, but we have given, I think, on our website the revenues we get from our subsidiaries, the 200,
yep.
the two subsidiaries where we have majority.
Okay.
These are small fledgling companies, and there are other investors in at least some of these companies, and they have issues about disclosures and so on. So,
okay, are you able to say which is the biggest? Is there one like that's?
So you know the companies which have been around longest are eTech Aces and Canberra. So they are the companies which will have, you know, a large proportion of the top line.
Yeah.
But almost everyone is currently making losses, which is why they're still raising, you know, further rounds of funding.
So Policybazaar and Canara are the biggest out of these.
Great. And yeah, third question was just on the valuations of each the last funding rounds of each of the companies.
Valuation.
The last one.
Last funding of each of the companies. Do you have the numbers?
So Robert, what we have given out is, you know, the aggregate that we have invested and the eventual percentage shareholding. For example, in Zomato, we'll hold about 58%. And the aggregate invested is around 860 million.
Rupees.
Right, but I would imagine as you put more capital in over time, the valuations are probably... Well,
yes, it has been moving up, you're right.
Okay.
You're right, in the case of both Zomato and Meditation, we sort of invested at a much higher valuation in our last round than we did in the earlier rounds. We also had to pay a control premium because we went above 50% in both these sub-companies. That's all I think we can reveal right now.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Ankur Rudra from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks. Can you elaborate on whether the revenue models for Zomato and Mydala have matured to something more scalable?
So Zomato, we are pretty confident of the model and the company is scaling up nicely. Mydala, I think we are more confident of Mydala than we were maybe some time back. I think they have figured out the mobility piece and their revenues are scaling up nicely at this point in time.
Can you elaborate on both the revenue models if possible?
Charges restaurants, okay, for listings and for advertising. While Zomato has got a Mydala makes money from merchants and also from consumers who sort of take their deals.
So a big driver for Mydala in the last 12 months has been working with the telecom operators to offer deals to the users of those telecom companies, so their user base. And offering deals and coupons and things like that. That has been a big driver of revenue growth in the last 12 months. While their merchant platform business has also grown. So they've got two, you know, like several businesses, but the two or three which are really large are the mobility piece and the merchant platform.
And on Zomato, is the listing bigger or the advertising you have on the website a bigger part of the, and more scalable part of the revenue model?
Advertising is where they get most of the revenue from.
So a lot of the listings would be actually free. Restaurants would be listed, but the real money comes for when you want, for ad space.
Okay, so it's not similar to, for example, the Jazdan model where you provide leads. It hasn't scaled to that, or you don't plan to keep it that way.
Well, they keep experimenting with different models. They've done lead generation based models to begin with, and so on. But right now, where the business is growing is through advertising.
Okay. Can you also, while we were on Mydala, can you also give me a sense on why you were more optimistic on that? Because that's also e-commerce business.
So that's because the revenues are growing, have sort of grown nicely over the last 12 months.
As opposed to in 99 Labels, revenues were not growing.
So 99 Labels was an e-commerce company, so they were shipping products and they were stocking them. So that's a different model altogether. Where here, sort of, they're charging merchants for being on their platform. And it's like an ad network, and they run their deals, they run their offers, and they make money from those coupons.
There was no inventory involved whatsoever?
No.
Okay, fair enough.
So it's mostly a merchant, marketing platform. It's evolved into a merchant marketing platform at the moment. So they don't really deal in physical goods at all.
Okay. And, just philosophically, can you help us understand, I understand that historically you've highlighted consistently that some of your investee companies will be less successful, and as evidenced by your write-off in 99 Labels. Can you maybe highlight any sort of timelines where you're looking for monetization of the rest of the portfolio? Any sort of timeline would be helpful.
So I don't understand what you mean by monetization, but we are sort of, we are in the companies we like, we would like to, and which are doing well and which don't require a lot of capital, we would like to own more and more of.
Okay, you wouldn't want to, for example, spin off any of them?
No, not yet.
Okay. Finally, on Jeevan Sathi, I noticed also your, volumes measured by the unique paid customers has been rising nicely. The number of profiles acquired daily has been somewhat decelerating for the last I guess, a couple of years. Is there any change in the business mix or the way you're selling which is causing this?
So we've been investing more in the business and we've been focusing on the North Indian market. And I do believe that we're getting stronger in this market. So our market share in this market has increased over a period of time and that gets us more conversion.
So the number of users acquired daily is not really indicative of popularity of your website?
Not really. It's also about the quality of users. It's also about where the users come from. You can always acquire a lot of users, but they could be from different communities. But on the other hand, if you acquire, you know, if you have 1,000 registrations on your site every day and all of them are from one community versus all of them, versus these being from 20 different communities, you know, it's a different ball game. So what we are focusing on is getting more and more registrations from the Hindi belt and from the north, and that's been working for us for the last few quarters.
What proportion of your business would that be, given that you're focusing only there now?
I can't give out those numbers.
Okay. So finally, if you could give me any sense of capex for next year.
So next year, I don't think we're looking at very significant capex because the large capex this year was the new building. And that's pretty much done. So, you know, there may be in some of the offices outside Noida, in a couple of offices, we may be moving into new premises where we've run out of space in existing. But that is pretty much what we have said is that, you know, as a guiding principle, just we take that the amount spent on, you know, the amount on depreciation is equivalent to the amount on capex. And that's pretty much a good thumb rule to use.
Okay, great. Thank you. Best of luck.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abhishek Shindadkar from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. I just have one question regarding the investee companies. First of all, thanks for giving the financials separately. And it seems that the revenues have grown nicely, operating revenues between 10 and 13, but as also is the case with the EBITDA losses. So could you help us understand as to what could be the inflection point in terms of revenues for some of the subsidiaries and associate companies which you could think or which would lead to, a reduction in the EBITDA losses? Thank you.
So that would be a function of the strategy we want to pursue. For example, let's take Zomato. If Zomato wants to just be in India, I'm sure they can break even very quickly. But right now they want to target international markets, so they set up shop in several international geographies. And if they continue to do that, the India business will become profitable, but they may lose the money on the rest of the business. So it would be very hard. It would depend on the strategy these companies want to pursue going forward.
Anything you could elaborate on some of the other names as well? I see a Merit Nation, I think Zomato and Merit Nation have seen a good ramp up in the revenue. So maybe at what percentage or at what revenue level, they could curtail the losses?
So, for the business they are currently in, let's say if you take the Zomato India business or you take the Merit Nation K-12 business, they can break even in the next 12 to 15 months if they just want to do this piece. But I'm sure they would want to invest in the future. They would want to enter more and more markets. They would want to launch new products. And that may result in them sort of in the break-even taking longer than if it was just business as usual. So it's very hard to say. It would depend on the strategies they want to pursue.
I apologize for sticking on this one, but what I wanted to understand is what is a comfort level in the minds of the management where you would think that, from there on the strategy would be more towards breaking even rather than expanding, given that the revenues are growing at exponential rates here?
So, these companies have enough money to last for at least 2 or 3 years, given their current losses. So I think they will continue to be aggressive for the next 12 to 18 months on their investments.
Okay, thank you. Thanks for taking my question.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nandish Dalal from IIFL. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. My question is regarding your roadmap in Policy Bazaar. So your new investment, unlike your other businesses, have Policy Bazaar has two more investors. So do you view this as a financial investment or a strategic one? And how do you see, monetizing this Policy Bazaar investments in future?
So we are now one of the several investors in Policy Bazaar.
Okay.
So I guess, the investors jointly determine what sort of, and along with the promoters, determine what should happen in the company. But you're right, you know, it's going to be hard for us to go above 50% in Policy Bazaar in the near future.
Okay, so it could be a potential spin-off in the future.
Let's see what happens.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pankaj Murarka from Axis Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Can you give some more color on the growth outlook for 99acres and Jeevansathi going into the next year?
So 99acres grew by 48% last year and Jeevansathi grew by 27%. You know, ideally we would want to sort of maintain these growth rates going forward as well. But a lot would depend on competitive activity in these verticals. A lot would depend on the economy as well, especially in the case of 99acres. A lot would depend on how much you are willing to invest in these businesses. Like I said on the call, at least in 99acres, we would want to continue to be aggressive. Even in Jeevansathi, we were happy with what the results we got last year from our strategy, and we would want to pursue with that strategy for a while.
So my impression is that in both these businesses, the overall growth doesn't matter because it's more about penetration, and the online businesses in both the segments are a fraction, a small percentage of overall this thing. So, meaning, are you trying to say that if the environment would have been better, the growth could have been much higher?
See, of course, the environment does sort of tend to play a role. If there are, for example, a lot of our businesses, new project launches, and if a lot of new projects get launched, then we tend to make a lot of revenue from those launches. On the other hand, if the builders don't have enough money or if demand is weak and they delay launches, you know, it does impact our business. But you're also right that, you know, we are still under-penetrated. We are still sort of trying to get, we are still able to get a lot of new customers. And that is why we were able to grow 99acres at 48% last year in a market where sort of real estate actually declined by 20-25%. So even in Jeevansathi, you know, as more and more people come online, that helps our business. And right now only 10% of India is online. So you're right. To some extent, you know, we will be able to grow these businesses even if the economy does not grow that much. But yes, the economy does have an impact.
So the inference I'm drawing from this is both these businesses will continue to report or witness strong growth going into the next year in the context of what you've seen last year.
Yeah, provided we keep investing and provided, you know, there isn't that much competition and, you know, we do the right things.
Okay. Secondly, now on Jeevansathi, while some of these operating numbers are showing some traction, and last time you said that, I think last time or the quarter back when we discussed it, you said that you've taken a 2 years of window from board to go out and invest aggressively into the business. So from the from your perspective, how's the business shaping up? And is there a tail risk that Jeevansathi might go the 99 labels way?
So, you know, we are happy with the progress we made in Jeevansathi last year. I think even though we are number three in the market, we were able to grow our business at 27%. We are working on new models. We are working on new strategies. We are working on, you know, like I said earlier, we are focusing on the North Indian market. You know, if we get one more year of solid growth in Jeevansathi, you know, if we are able to grow at more than 30% this year as well, then of course that will sort of mean that the business will start looking very different from what it looks like right now.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. We have the next follow-up question from the line of Sagar Rastogi from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks. Can you give some idea of how big your addressable market is for Naukri? Maybe in terms of number of firms, if not in terms of revenue.
See, the number of firms out there the number of companies we must have done businesses in the last 5-7 years must be close to 100,000, right? But many of these are small. Many of these don't exist today. Many new companies sort of set up shop every year. So if you sort of, we worked with about 48,000 companies last year. But the number of companies we must have met, approached, called upon must be close to 100,000, if not more.
Yes, sir. I mean, I was just trying to understand as to, you know, blue sky scenario, where would Naukri turn into a sort of a mature business? So are we saying that effectively when all those 100,000 customers get onto Naukri, there would not be additional customers for you to
add? It's not just about the number of customers, because the customers we add at the bottom don't give us too much revenue to start with. It is about the amount of hiring which is taking place in the market out there. Now, for example, if a company has 10,000 people and they add, in a slow market, their attrition rate may be 10%, and therefore to stay at the same number, they just need to hire 1,000 people. And they may not grow on top of that number. So that means just 1,000 people to be hired. On the other hand, in a good market, a 10,000 people company may have an attrition rate of 15%, in which case they need to hire 1,500 people to stay at the same number. Plus, they want to grow on top of that. So they may want to go to 12,000 people from 10,000 people. So that means 3,000 people, 3,500 people to be hired in a good market as opposed to maybe 1,000 people to be hired in a bad market. And that's really what gives us the kicker. So when this happens, when the market sort of starts growing aggressively or starts growing faster, then the hiring, gross hiring in most companies doubles or triples. And when that happens, you know, we are able to get better prices. We are able to sort of sell more solutions. And, you know, in general, because of the nature of the competitive, because there is more sort of economic activity, there are more companies that set up shop, there are more companies who want to expand, and, you know, that gives us a kicker.
Okay, but, I mean, your services are, I mean, there is some correlation to the number of hires, but I understand that you essentially sell licenses, right? So using that license, someone could hire 500 people. That same person could hire 1,000 people using the same license, right? So
no, but in general, you know, in general, what we see is that there is no direct correlation, but the revenue we get from a company often depends on the number of hires the company sort of makes in a year. So some of our biggest customers are the large IT services companies and the large banks and the large insurance companies and so on. And some of the smallest customers we have are, the companies which have very few employees. The truth is that if you sort of want to hire a lot of people, you are willing to pay a lot more. You don't, sort of ask for great discounts. The truth is that when you sort of want to hire more people, you have more recruiters, and therefore you want more licenses as well. The truth is that when you, in a tough market, you need to attract the talent, the right talent, and therefore you need to sort of spend more money on brand and other activities. You also sort of do whatever it takes to get people. So there is a correlation between overall sort of hiring numbers and what companies spend on Naukri. It may not be a direct correlation.
Okay, makes sense. And just one final, if I could squeeze in, for FY14, at what level of revenue growth do you think your margins would stay stable? I mean, you had given similar guidance for FY13, if you could give.
So you know what happened in FY12-13 is that our collection growth in Naukri was flattish, but we benefited from the deferred revenue which came in from the last year.
Right.
We will see no such benefit next year from deferred sales. We won't get a lot of brought forward next year. So if collection growth in Naukri corporate sales, which is our sort of still 70% of our business, is below 20%, our sort of margins will suffer, is what we feel.
If I can just modify that, we will see some growth from deferred sales revenue, but it will be lower than what we saw in 12-13. Because you notice that on the balance sheet there's about 122 crores of deferred sales revenue.
Yes.
So certainly, yes, there will be some growth from in revenue terms. But yes, if the business outlook continues to be weak, so we will if revenue growth is less than 15, below 20%, I think, similar thumb rule can operate like what we did for 12-13.
Understood. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anubhav Jain from CIMB India. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. This is Srinivas Seshadri. Just a couple of bookkeeping questions. Firstly, I see that your G&A costs have gone up this quarter. To my understanding, this particular line item was supposed to stabilize and then hopefully go down when the new campus gets fully rolled out. So can you give some color on what's happened this quarter and the outlook for the next year?
So, even in this quarter, we paid double the rent because we sort of continued to occupy some of the other offices because we had a notice period. We sort of moved to the new building as well. So a rental cost will start going down, hopefully from Q1 of this year.
Okay. And on a full year basis, like what kind of benefit should one see from that?
Well, we're also hiring new, taking one or two new offices in some of the other branches that we have, where we sort of are running out of space. So you will see some benefit. I really can't say right now how much that benefit will be. But of course, certainly, you know, G&A expenses will not grow as rapidly as they grew this year.
Right, right. And can I also have the deferred sales for Naukri, like how much it would be as a percentage of the overall deferred sales?
So we give total deferred sales, you know, the total, most of it is Naukri, and that number right now on the balance sheet is 121 crores.
So most of the deferred sales revenue, you know, would refer to Naukri, to some extent to 99acres and
Shiksha.
To Shiksha. But we don't break it down by business.
Okay, thanks. I'll come back if I have more questions.
Right.
Thank you. Participants, anyone who has a question at this time, you may press star and one. As there are no further questions from the participants, I would now like to hand the floor back to Mr. Hitesh Oberoi for closing comments. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Well, thank you everyone for being on the call. Have a great evening. See
okay,
you
there's a, I think there's another question.
Yes, sir. We just got one question in the queue right now.
Yeah, all right. Let's take that then.
Sure. We have Mr. Ashish Kacholia from Lucky Investments Management Managers. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir. I just wanted to ask you if there is any, you know, possibility of Naukri going the monster.com way, where their business model kind of became obsolete due to the arrival of LinkedIn. Is there any chance that, something like this could happen with...
Well, I don't think the Monster model has gone obsolete, because Monster is just one company in the job space. There are many other companies in the job board market which are doing really well. There are at least two or three companies in China, like 51job, Zaopin. There is Seek in Australia, which is doing really well. There are so many other sites in Europe which are doing well. So I don't think the problem is with the model. Yes, of course, LinkedIn is a threat, and we all sort of are doing stuff to compete with LinkedIn. But I think in the case of Monster, it could be many other things as well. They were in 21, maybe 25, 30 countries. They were not leaders in those countries. So that also created its own pressures. So, you know, I think it would be very sort of early to say that this model is under threat and this model is not going to last. And, you know, for certain types of hiring, we work very well, and that's why customers come back to us. Maybe for some other type of hiring, LinkedIn does a really good job.
Excuse me, sir. The participant's line has been disconnected, sir. So, would you like to add any closing remarks before we conclude?
Okay, so thank you all for being on the call. Our results are available on infoedge.in. Have a great evening and see you next quarter.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of InfoEdge India Limited, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.